You're listening to The Naked Scientist with Chris Smith and with Sarah Costa-Perry.
And if you'd like to contact us through Twitter, it's at Naked Scientist, or you can send us an email to chris@thenakedscientist.com.
Thank you, Sarah. Well, this week we're looking at the science of the seriously very small nanoscale things, and we'll be finding out how they hold the key to powering the next generation of things like motor vehicles. Still to come, we'll hear how nano engineering itself can also be used to build better batteries in the future. But right now we're joined by Professor Stephen Bennington. He's from ICIS at the Rutherford Appleton Laboratory, and his work looks at how nanostructures could give us a safe and accessible way to store hydrogen. Stephen, hello.
Hello, nice to be here.
Thank you for joining us on The Naked Scientist. Many people may wonder, because of all the hype about hydrogen, why is it such a wonderful fuel?
Well, it contains an enormous amount of energy. And also, when you burn it, of course, it just goes back to water, H2O. So it's a very clean fuel. So it's an ideal fuel if we can find some way of getting it into a car and using it.
Although that assumes, of course, that you can make the hydrogen cleanly in the first place.
True, exactly. It's only a store. It's not a fuel. You don't dig it out of the ground or anything like that. So you have to find some method for making the stuff. But of course, we know how to make clean electricity. We haven't done it properly yet, but you know, you can have wind power, and you can have solar, and you can have all these wave machines, and you can have nuclear, and that you can use to make clean hydrogen, which you then transfer to a different sector and burn it in your cars.
Well, the emphasis really is on the word burn, isn't it? Because as the Hindenburg showed us, there are one or two problems with using this wonder fuel as well.
Well, in principle, it's not actually as dangerous as petrol. They've done these tests, and if you puncture your fuel tank in your car, the petrol flows underneath the car, sets alight, and then burns up through the car, and you're toast. But hydrogen, of course, burns upwards. And so generally, it burns away from you. So if you look at the Hindenburg, actually, most of the people survived. You wouldn't have that in a plane crash. In a plane crash, you'd be dead. So it's not as bad as people think. It might have a bad image, but you know, and it is dangerous. Anything that can propel you along a motorway at 70 miles an hour is going to have a lot of energy in it. So it's not going to be perfectly safe, but it's safer than petrol, probably.
So why are people worried about hydrogen then? Why don't we just make cars with a big hydrogen cylinder in the back and people go to the garage, fill up with hydrogen? If it's safer than fuel, shouldn't be a problem.
It's not the fact that it's the fuel itself, but if you want to get enough hydrogen to fuel to your car, you need to pressurise it. And typically, the sort of tests that Toyota and other people have done so they can drive their cars 700 kilometres require tanks which have 700 bars of hydrogen, 700 atmospheres. I mean, that's a huge pressure.
Yeah, and you can imagine a big tank, I presume.
It's a fairly big tank, but that, you know, that's not real the problem. It's 700 bars, and you can have 700 bars of air in the back of your car, and that's not going to be safe. You're going to have insurance problems, you're going to have licensing problems. It's not going to be a thing that a consumer is easily going to want to buy.
So there's a transportation and a safety issue. So what are the solutions?
Well, what we're looking at, well, a huge number of people around the world are looking at, are ways to store it within a solid material. And if you can store in a solid material at sort of ambient pressures and temperatures, you just heat it up slightly, hopefully at lowish temperatures, then the hydrogen is released and you can use it. And you can store concentrations in many materials that are more than in these high-pressure tanks, but they're not ideal for many reasons.
Oh, I get it. So you can make a material that enables you to store more hydrogen than you would get in a tank at those tremendous pressures, but at lower pressure.
Yes.
And therefore it's much safer.
Absolutely.
How on earth does that work?
Well, it sits in the interstices of the atoms. So, well, there are various different methods, all right? So one method is you take a very high surface area material, and, you know, carbon nanotubes were mooted a few years ago, and the hydrogen then sticks on the outside of that. And the other method is one where you take one that where the material soaks it up like a sponge and it sits in between the atoms of the material. So one of those two.
And your approach?
Well, we do both. We're kind of hedging our bets. One of them is going to work. The problem is that the material that the high surface area materials, you have to cool the material down. So it's cryogenic, which is not perfect. You'd rather not have that in your car. And the other ones, all the ones where it goes into the interstices of a normal material, they run at too high a temperature. And so we're looking at ways, nanotechnology is one of them, of bringing them down so that they operate at ambient pressures and ambient temperatures.
So, for want of a better expression, you want to build some kind of molecular cage, which enables you to put the hydrogen into that cage, which will soak it up safely at low pressure, mm-hmm. and enable you to store large amounts. Is this deliverable? Can we do this?
Well, yes, we think so. We've got prototypes of things that are kind of working. nanotechnology is really the answer, and that's what we are concentrating on at the moment. So we're taking these materials that normally run at, say, 200 or 300 degrees centigrade, and we're making them very small, so making into a nanoscale material. And if you do that, I'm really sort of getting ahead of ourselves here, but one of the things is it reduces the temperature at which it operates. But there's also another problem with many of these materials. In fact, almost all these materials that run at these high temperatures, they take an extraordinarily long time for the hydrogen to come out. And you can't wait half an hour when you put your foot on the accelerator to get off. You've got to have it now. And if you make the material small, then, of course, you reduce all the what they call the rate-limiting steps for the hydrogen to get out. You know, so it's got a large surface area, so the hydrogen can get to the surface, recombine and get away and diffuse away. When it's inside the material itself, it doesn't have very far to diffuse. But the key point here is that it transforms in a different way. The phase transformation from the hydride to the non-hydride phase is completely different. So in a normal bulk material, you have a big lump of it. The outer surface, like the onion around the outside, might go to the hydride phase, and then it would massively expand, and you'd have this big phase boundary between the hydride phase and the non-hydride phase.
This is meaning where the atoms of hydrogen are stuck on is the hydride phase.
That's right. So you've transformed the material from one form to another. It has a big volume change. And driving that phase boundary through your material is hugely energetic. It takes a lot of energy and it really disrupts and damages it.
So by shrinking it, it's much easier because you're doing this on the small scale throughout rather than trying to get big blobs.
Kind of. I mean, the two things. One is that if you have a big lump of material, that skin around the outside can stop the hydrogen getting into the centre. But also, on a nanoscale material, it just switches like that, clicks from one phase to the other, and it doesn't have any phase boundary at all. It just switches. And that can be very, very quick. It can go in seconds. And so that's why it reduces the temperature at which it operates, and it can make the hydrogen come out really fast. And that's been proven.
And just to finish off, can you tell us what is the material, the magic material that's doing this, and how are you building it?
There are a large number of materials, but the technique we're using is called electrospinning. Actually, not too different to what you heard in the previous article, but if you extrude a small amount of a hydride material surrounded by, you know, including polymer, out of a needle, and then put a large electric field on it, it pulls a very, very fine fibre, nanostructured fibre, and it makes a kind of tissue-like material, and that material works. I mean, you know, you can use various different hydrides in the centre, and we're trying all sorts of different ones. And you get the reduction in the temperature, and you also get this high-speed hydrogen release.
And just to finish, how long before we see this actually being commercially viable rather than something in a laboratory?
Well, we're setting up a company now, and hopefully in 5 years' time we'll have a product. So that's the plan. You know, things can slip up, but that's what we're aiming for.
So this is soon. I mean, that's fantastic news, isn't it, to think that you're actually going now commercially for this.
That's right. But we're talking about prototypes in that time. So, you know, in the same way that you can buy these prototype electric vehicles, battery vehicles, lithium-ion battery vehicles, in 5 years' time, hopefully these will be available on trial.
Terrific. Thank you. Stephen Bennington from the STFC's ISIS Neutron Source. He's with us for the rest of the programme. So,
if you'd like to get in touch through Twitter, it's @NakedScientist, or you can send us an email to chris@thenakedscientist.com.